life, all we have, all that we possess, it belongs to Him. We give Him our hearts, our breath, our lives, everything that we are. We give it to You, Lord Jesus, because You alone are worthy. You're worthy of all our time, You're all our energy. We wish we could give You everything, Lord. But in this time, we also know from a prophet's voice that we have to live, we have to work, we have to plan. We have our lives here, but we also have been encouraged to always be ready. Just be ready. Live as though You're coming any minute. You could come tonight, Lord. You could come tomorrow. You could come in 10 years. We don't know when You're coming, Lord. But we do know that You can come in Your Spirit right now in a fresh new way, Lord. There could be a fresh new outpouring of Your holy presence to reveal each heart, to open each soul, to open ourselves from the inside out and let You find the throne room of every part of our lives. May You, Lord, in Your bloody footprints, may You mount up upon the throne of our hearts and thoughts, and You take over the kingdoms of this world, Lord. We surrender them to You tonight. We surrender our lives to You tonight, Lord. We want You to take full control of us. We want You to have all access, O God. We pray that You'll forgive us, Lord, for barring You from some part of our life. You have control now, Lord, over this church, over our home, over our families, our finances, over all our goods, all we have. We have, Lord, it's all Yours. We surrender to You tonight, Lord Jesus. Have control over every atom of our body, over every cell, over every molecule. Take control, Lord Jesus, tonight. Have control of the body of the Lord, Your bride, this evening. Around the world, Lord, we pray that You'll move in a mighty way. And we ask it humbly in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, how's the sound? Is it coming out okay? Got the new system going here. Praise the Lord. We sure appreciate all of your encouragement, all of your help. And Brother Tommy over there, he was really helpful to help get the little bit of a different microphone system. So this one's kind of a unidirectional one. So just let me know if anybody's having trouble hearing, let me know. And we'll pray for you. No, I'm just kidding. You know, imagine Paul on Mars Hill. No microphones, no amplifiers, just preaching the gospel. And the Spirit of God came down and thousands gave their lives to Jesus Christ. All right, if you have your Bibles with you, we're going to turn to Revelation chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. Just those three verses we're going to read. Hallelujah. I know I said Revelation 10, and you all said, ooh, this is going to be heavy tonight. But it's not going to be heavy. It's going to lighten you up. How many needs to be lightened up? You ever have somebody say that when you're in situations, yeah, where people say, lighten up? That's what we need to do. Revelation chapter 10, verses 1 through 3 says, and I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book or a little scroll open or unrolled. And he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roars. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. May God bless the word. You may be seated. Amen. There's so many things that we can choose to speak on there, but I want to just focus right now on seven thunders. We've heard so many things preached about seven thunders. We've heard so many ideas about seven thunders. But I want you to know this is something that God is doing especially for us. This is something He's giving as He's doing it where John is able to hear it. And John is able to even start to write down what he's hearing. It's impacting John's life. He's instructed not to write it down because it's going to be held until the end. Can you say amen? How many feels like we're living in the end? So that means it's really for us. And it is a special, I would call it a message or something from the Lord to us to finish this race out, to complete everything that He has started. He wants to complete it. And God wants to complete it in a big way. He wants to complete it in a great way. So I love this. And I want to just give it a title tonight that I feel is appropriate because of just the way the Spirit of the Lord is moving, amen, upon the Word and to bring us through the Word. And that is, seven thunders will trigger your body change. And I remember I told you, you already have the makings of a body change happening on the inside. If you're not born again yet, you need that birth. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because God sent his word, but the word alone can be a dead letter. It can kill people just as quickly as it can give them life. The word can give you life as long as the Holy Spirit is there. Because the Spirit of truth is what will take us into the word and lead us into all truth. Can you say amen? So it requires the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit takes the word and connects to the seed inside of you, which is also word, and marries the two together, and you have an invisible union happening inside of you. You are part of the bride of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. God has come in this end time to sneak under the devil's nose, as it were, and to begin a rapture happening, and he can't do nothing about it. Praise the Lord. Don't you love that? If you think that this is important to the devil, it is. When Moses was 120 years old, God said, go up to the top of Mount Nebo, lay down and die. You know, like, I don't know how you can do that. But he did. He went up top of him, he laid down. For all we know, he died. Because the Bible later tells us in Jude that Satan and Michael were contending over the body of Moses. So just understand, the devil feels he has some kind of rights of jurisdiction over these physical makeups that we have. Messing us up through life, all the way through life, and then finally closing out life and laying that body in the ground, having it decomposed. It's just a way that the devil feels like he's got one over on God. But the devil is not a proper owner. He has no title, right, deed to any of this. He is simply a squatter, as we call it, amen? He's just a squatter. So what God has done is he sent a prophet messenger to pull from the Bible, right out of the Bible, the words that were there all along but hiding in plain sight. But a prophet brings those out and feeds it to us like eaglets who need to eat eagle food. And when he does that, something starts changing in us. There's a changing going on in the end time church that wasn't happening to all the rest of the church. They all experience changes down through the ages, but for us in this end time, our particular change is going to impact all of them. They are waiting for us to be able to take these things that were hidden and be able to know them, understand them, embrace them, and be changed by them. Can you say amen? So in the Church Age book, which Brother Branham wrote or was part of writing it, because he certainly laid out all the material for the manuscript, and it was finished by some other writers, but he wrote a Church Age book, a book called The Church Ages, Revelation 7 Church Ages. Excuse me here, I don't know what that's all about. And anyway, in there he says, what was in those thunders no one knows, but we need to know. And it will take a prophet to get the revelation, because God has no other way of bringing out scriptural revelations except by a prophet. How many can say amen to that? And I mean, we don't need to look too far. We know that that's what God did. He raised him up to be that prophet and to bring that revelation of what those seven thunders are all about, what they're in, what's in it, what's happening. Now, honestly, saints, I've heard, you've heard, we've heard all kinds of ideas of what the seven thunders are, right? We've heard all kinds of interpretations. Some said, oh, each of the seven virtues that make up the divine nature that's going to be manifesting through the bride, that's going to be seven thunders. And you've heard, I've heard, maybe you haven't, but there's going to be someday seven men that'll rise up on seven continents, and that's going to be seven thunders. I don't know where some of these things even come from, but you've heard all kinds of things. But the fact of the matter is, God sent us a prophet. Why do we need to interpret the interpretation? Why can't we just accept it as it is? And even if there's some things that we don't know, we can accept that too. Because it's a progressive revelation. It's progressing. We are growing as it grows. As we grow in Christ, the word opens up more. God gives you more because you can handle more. Praise the Lord. So he's not going to give it to you all right away. He's going to let you grow into it. Right? So we've heard all kinds of things, but listen, let's be clear on what the prophet of God pointed this out in the word of God, what it was. He said seven thunders, the connection, he makes the connection. Seven thunders are connected to the literal coming of the Lord. I want to say that again. Seven thunders are connected to the literal coming of the Lord. Now, how many here believes in a literal corporal coming of Lord Jesus Christ? I've read you those quotes many times. Brother Brandt says he was complaining that 80% of Christian ministers no longer believed in the corporal bodily coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Which is a sad scenario. But it's sad that he has to complain about that. And then right in our ranks, sometimes you see people don't believe in it either. Or try to say, well, that cloud was the physical coming of the Lord. But that's, anyway, neither here nor there. We've had all kinds of ideas, but I want you to understand this. Now, Christ has shown up many times throughout history. He appeared to Abraham. He appeared to Moses. He appeared to the Old Testament saints. He came and anointed prophets. Prophets were moved by the Spirit of Christ. Christ was in them, speaking through them. Christ has shown up and appeared in many ways, shapes, and forms. He descended in the form of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost. How many believe that was Christ? I will come to you. I'll be in you even unto the end of the consummation of the age. And he has come multiple times throughout the church ages. Is that true? Christ has come. And he came in 1906 on Azusa Street. How many believe that was the Spirit of Christ? It was the Holy Spirit, but it was the Spirit of Christ, which is the Holy Spirit. He came again in 1909. How many believes that? In Kentucky, in a little log cabin. That was Christ again. 1946, he comes again. He anoints a man to go out, and his ministry begins. Evangelistic as it was, but he was still a prophet. He comes again in 1949, and the picture is taken of him. Pillar of fire, right there, on camera. And then he comes again in a big way in 1963. How many believes that? I certainly believe it. I wouldn't. How can you deny it? It's so apparent that it's Christ coming. But none of these comings can be considered or called the second coming or the return of Jesus Christ. It's part of it, but it's not officially the second coming of the literal corporal body of the Lord in his literal corporal body. How many can say amen? I share this with you because going over every time that Brother Branham talks about the coming of the Lord, the second coming of the Lord, from 1963 or from the seals until the day he died, I have found that he invariably always was referring to it as a future event. You would expect that if it was all sewed up in 1963, it would be just as easy for him to say, it happened, it's already happened, it's already happened, it's already on, it's going on. But he didn't do that. Instead, of the every single quote, and I don't know if you have the time to go look at them, but it's kind of a fun journey, but every quote from the seals all the way till he passes away, he's pointing to a literal, a corporal, a bodily, an actual coming of Jesus Christ yet in the future. Now, how many knows now it's been almost 60 years, right? We're in the future. So it's here. Don't you believe that? So there, you know, he never speaks of 1963 as being the coming of the Lord or the coming of Christ. There's a way you can put some passage or quotes together and kind of formulate that that's what happened. But the truth of the matter is, this is only an assumption on our part because he didn't do that. And the reason I bring that up is because the many, many times that he refers to the seven thunders in connection with the literal coming of Jesus Christ becomes important to us. We can't throw those away. We cannot put quotes together that might go together and point to something like an actual coming of Jesus Christ in 63, and then we have to throw away everything else. I really feel like all of it goes together. I don't think we have to throw away Jesus saying, be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and then we say, okay, I believe in that, and then we're going to throw away what Peter and James and John and Paul and all the rest of the apostles said about being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe the two go together. So I believe all of these things can really go together. And if we have a belief or a revelation and other quotes or things that were stated or scriptures are in contradiction, then there's something wrong maybe with our revelation. you know, maybe we don't quite have it right. Maybe we oughtn't to be preaching it until we have it right. It's better to wait, right? So here we go. I'm going to go through a few of these. This is the seventh seal. Brother Branham says, Jesus said no one would know his coming. They also would not know about this seven thunder mystery. So you see, it's connected together. I want you to be very clear. The seven thunders and that whole event and the second coming of Jesus Christ that he's referring to, he says they're connected together. Do you believe that? Right? Now watch. And again, in the seventh seal, he says, on the opening of the seventh seal, it's also in a threefold mystery. This one I will speak and have spoke, that it is the mystery of the seven thunders. The seven thunders, listen carefully to how he words this. The seven thunders in heaven will unfold this mystery. Now, this is important because if he, for example, is now in the seventh seal, if he has an understanding that each seal was a thunder, which is a teaching, there's a teaching that's been around a long time. Every time a seal, each seal was a thunder, or each seal, when it was revealed, was a thunder. If that's the fact, then his wording here becomes very strange. Because you would think he would very easily be able to point back and just say, it's happened, this is what's going on. Instead, he says, the seven thunders in heaven will unfold this mystery. It'll be right at the coming of Christ, because Christ said no one knew when he would return. He is speaking in very future terms, which now we're in the future. That's why you need to know this. I need to know this. We should want to know this, right? He said we need to know. So here's the key. Here's the key here. He says now, the seven thunders in heaven will unfold. It'll be right at the time when at the coming of Christ, because no one knew when he would return. So keep in mind this thing. Don't let that stumble you, because the fact of the matter is the seven thunders were revealed by Brother Branham when he preached the seven seals. How many believes that? They were revealed. We had no clue. I've read as many of the scholars and commentators and all these different ministers down through the ages who tried to speak on the seven thunders, and it's just they all admit, we have no clue what this is. It's probably the voice of God. They at least connect that maybe to Psalm 29, where the Bible says, the voice of the Lord thunders. You know, and seven times it talks about his voice thundering or sounding. So it's very interesting. But nobody really knows what is it, what's the significance of it, what does it even mean? Nobody even commenting on really this mighty angel and who he is and what is this event of him descending to the earth. But then God sends us a prophet. So now we have a revelation given to us about the seven thunders. And it's really key and really important to us. I want you to just pay attention to this really carefully. In Unveiling of God, 1964, Brother Branham said, someone said to me, wouldn't them seven thunders being blasted out, won't that be a revelation to give to some man? How many here feels like you could answer that question? Well, yeah, it was given to Brother Adam. Well, here's what his answer was. No. Isn't that a strange answer? He says, I said, no, sir. It would be adding something to the word or taking something from it. He says, it's all revealed in the Bible. And the seven seals opened up the revelation of what that was. You see what he's doing there is he's not putting anything on himself. He's putting it on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's putting it on the Spirit of the living God, the Spirit that's going to lead us into all truth. And he's really letting us know, look, the seven thunders are revealed by the opening of the seals. It opens up what's laying in the Bible for us. It's really revealing everything we need to know about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we as a bride have to prepare ourselves. We have to make ourselves ready. Jesus talks about being ready. And the book of Revelation tells us that the wife of the Lamb made herself ready. That's why some people may wonder, well, if Brother Branham was the forerunner, how come Jesus didn't show up? Or some will teach he was the forerunner and Jesus came in 1963. I get what they're trying to say, but we don't have to mess with the Word of God. It's the Word of God. God sends the forerunner and then gives us a gap, a space of time to get ready. We have to get ready. Everyone has to come in. We have to be dressed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ and filled with the Holy Spirit. Do you believe that? I love that. Now, notice, wouldn't that be something that would be revealed to someone? No, sir, it would be adding something to it or taking something out of it. It's all revealed in there. The seven seals, when he says it that way, he means when he preached the seven seals, the seven seals opened up the revelation of what that was. Now, stay focused on this because it's really key. You're going to really start to see how Brother Bram uses his words. He's saying what the seven thunders was, not the revelation of what they said. Does everybody understand that? In other words, be very clear, seven thunders say something. They say something because John's going to write it down. They say something, and Brother Bram says they said something, they spelled out something. And even one place you know he said, and I heard it, and I watched for it, and the interpretation came by, but it was in another language, unknown tongue, and I couldn't make it out. And then he starts saying it's not time yet. So on one hand, he's saying it's already revealed. On another hand, he's saying there's something yet. Praise the Lord. And this is important. That's just like Jesus on the mountain saying, be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And then he ascends. There was a couple of weeks go by, they could have had all kinds of interpretations. But on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came and interpreted it. It's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Aren't you glad you know that? You're part of the family of God. Questions and Answers, 1964. Have the seven thunders, which equal seven mysteries, already been revealed? Were they revealed in the seven seals, but are yet not known to us as the thunders yet? His answer again, he says, no, they were revealed in the seven seals. That's what the thunders was about. Now, I want you to just catch again the fact that he's telling us what was revealed in the seven seals, especially in the seventh seal, because that's where he's going to end up pointing back to many times, is what the thunders was all about. If we don't know what the thunders are all about, we can't even get started. But it's all about the second coming of Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ descends, amen, those thunders are going to sound. They're going to articulate. They're going to be manifested. They're going to say something. Hallelujah. Oh, I hope you get this because it's very powerful stuff. I wish we had time to go through all of these quotes, but we can't. Let's do another one. Church Age book again. Now, this messenger of Malachi 4 and Revelation 10:7, same messenger, is going to do two things. One, according to Malachi 4, he will turn the hearts of the children to the fathers. How many can say thank God for the promise and the prophecy of Malachi 4, which was fulfilled in our day, that behold, I'll send you Elijah the prophet, and God has sent the Elijah anointing on Brother Branham for us, can you say amen, to turn our hearts back to the fathers, but notice, not really back to the fathers, but back to their faith. Back to their revelation, which was a revelation of Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory. How many gets that? It's really strange language in both the Greek and in the Hebrew, Malachi 4, when it's spoken of in both parts of the Bible, Old and New Testament, because it says it'll turn the hearts of the children upon the fathers. It doesn't really say to the fathers. It's a preposition upon the fathers, meaning that it'll turn their hearts back to God based on what the fathers did. So our prophet in our day, his job was to get us to look back to the original pattern of the Pentecostal fathers or the apostolic fathers, look at what they did, and based on what they were doing, knowing we should have the same signs and wonders and works and love and power among us, then it causes our hearts to be turned back to the original faith word that they believed in so that we can get to know the true God who spoke those words. It's all about having a revelation and a relationship with the author of the book, not just some seminary idea of what it means. Thank God for the difference. But you're going to watch this passage or quote out of the Church Age book come alive to you. You probably never noticed this. He's going to do two things. He's going to turn the hearts of the children to the fathers. And two, he will reveal the mysteries of the seven thunders in Revelation 10, which are the revelations contained in the seven seals. That's a big mouthful. But watch the wording here that comes just after this. It will be these divinely revealed mystery truths that literally turn the hearts of the children to the Pentecostal fathers. Now, he says he's going to do two things. And if you look at the results of both of those things, it's turning the hearts of the children to the fathers. How's that two things? It's still two things. Hallelujah. Because one, by the anointing of an Elijah prophetic ministry, going back into the Word of God and restoring God's Word and restoring relationship with God, he's turned our hearts back to Almighty God. Can you say amen? Because of the truth of the original apostolic fathers. The foundation of everything we believe is all laying on the foundation. I should say the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Can you say praise the Lord? So that's what 1963 was all about. But the revelation of the seven thunders is that these mystery truths, this truth that's laying there in the Bible and in the message, that I feel like a lot of it's just been bypassed. Praise the Lord. He's telling us divinely revealed. It's more than just a prophet saying it. Now it becomes God to you directly giving you the revelation. And now there's a literal, that's a different wording, a literal turning of the heart to the Pentecostal fathers. Because honestly, they without us are not made perfect. We need to have our hearts turned to them to bring them back. They're waiting for a perfect church at the end time so they can be perfected themselves. They're waiting on us. They're depending on us. That's why it's so important. That's why he says we need to know. We need the revelation of those seven thunders, because it's going to be those things that's going to finish this whole thing out. Just waiting for us to get that. Now, what did Brother Branham reveal? The question becomes, if he's revealed what the thunders were, what did he reveal? They have to do with the second coming of Jesus. Can you say amen? We know that. That's the revelation. He never taught they are seven virtues. He never taught that they are seven continents, seven men. He never taught that it's the revelation of the seven thunders, or the revelation of each seal was a thunder. He never taught that. In fact, he was very emphatic about once the seals were opening, he says, oh, wait a minute here. The seven seals and the seven thunders are different, because he thought they were the same. But he realized once they started opening, you know, a lot of things when the seals were being opened to him by Almighty God, a lot of things were corrected, even that he was preaching. That didn't make him wrong. It just meant God was holding back until the right time. He knew we would be okay if we heard a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And once in a while, he might have said the second person of the Trinity, third person of the Trinity. You know, we don't get offended by that. But that's all the revelation we had until the seals opened up. Can you say amen? Now, in the seventh seal, he goes on and says this: nobody knows when he is coming. Now, I want to just make this clear again. I'm going to emphasize this one more time. He's connecting the seven thunders in manifestation form, not revelation form, because we know what they are. We ought to know what they are. It's the second coming of Jesus Christ. Not a 1963 second coming. That's a preface. That's leading up to it. That's all part of it. But a literal coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Once you understand that, you're going to understand all these other quotes that have been laying there that nobody wants to preach on. Because it doesn't make sense if you try to put it all in 63. Does that make sense? It's going to make more sense for where we're living today. Watch what he says. Nobody knows when he is coming. This is the seventh seal. Now you could say, well, that's generic. He's talking about the church world. Maybe. But watch what he does here. He's being pretty all-inclusive in my book. Nobody. That means us too. But watch what he says here. He says, but there will be seven voices of these thunders that will reveal the great revelation at that time. That is extremely future language. It won't be known till that time. What? I thought it was already known. I thought it's already in there. I thought you revealed all of it. He's not talking so much about what the thunders are about, but more specifically what the voices of the thunders say. There's something that's going to be said. In other words, let me put it this way. The seven thunders that he revealed when he opened up the seals, he was revealing that they will be a future event that'll take place at the end when the bride needs it. Right when she needs it, and only when she needs it. He's clear about this. Seven voices of these thunders, that will reveal the great revelation at that time. It won't be known till that time, but it will be revealed in that day, in the hour that it's supposed to be revealed in. I guess by then you'll know the day and the hour, won't you? That straightens that one out. Jesus, when he said, made the statement, no man knows the day or the hour, he was identifying a temporary situation. No man currently, right now, knows the day or the hour. Because he clearly goes on to say, if the man had known the hour that the thief was coming, he wouldn't have suffered his house to be broken up. He says, therefore, watch, for you don't know the day or the hour. In other words, watch so you can know. Because it'll happen right near the time when it happens, you'll get the revelation of what it is. Let's go a little bit further. Seventh seal again. He says, and here, when the seventh seal, when he opened it, he also omitted it again. So we see that it is a complete mystery. Therefore, the hour is not yet for the mystery to be known. He's not talking about what the seven thunders were about. He's not talking about the fact that the seven thunders are connected. The revelation he gave us was the connection between the seven thunders and the second coming of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Because he clearly tells us that's what it is. He means, what he's saying there, that mystery of the seven thunders are not yet known, meaning, what did they say? I had a brother one time say to me, Brother Elijah, we have the seven thunders, it's done, it's over. I said, really, is that true? And so I took a piece of paper and a pencil and I put it over and said, do what John was going to do, write them down. I mean, shouldn't you be able to write it down? Shouldn't you? Why can't we? It's because it has to be held until every single member is in, and then the bride is ready to receive it. Not the revelation of what they are, but the actual voices articulating truth, a kind of truth that's going to trigger a resurrection and a body change. I hope you're ready for that. Amen. Hallelujah. That's all that's waiting. It's just holding back. Watch what he says. Therefore, we're this far. So we have revelation. We have gotten a lot. He says, we are this far. We've come this far. And the rest of it will be known right around about the time that Jesus appears on earth again for his bride, or whatever takes place at that time. Now, it's a little strong language here, but he says Jesus appears again on earth for his bride. We know Jesus, when he comes for us, he isn't going to come to the earth. Is that true? But he's going to be like right here. I mean, how much closer to the earth do you need to be? He's going to be in the air. He's going to be right above us. He's going to be with the saints. He's going to be with all of your loved ones. He's going to be with Brother Branham. He's going to be with all the believers of that time, the Pentecostal people, old Daddy Seymour, all the way back, Wesley, Luther, all the way back to the Apostle Paul and Peter. They're going to be with them. They're all going to be with them. It's all going to happen right there. So then he sends down the anointing on the bride. I believe that. How many believes that? There's got to be, again, over and over he repeats, there's going to be a sweep. There's going to be a baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's going to be a refilling of the Holy Spirit. There's going to be a dynamics. There's going to be the glory of he talks about the glory of the Lord. It's going to hit the bride. And the resurrection and rapture is going to happen. Right? Therefore, we're this far, and the rest of it will be known right around about the time that Jesus appears on earth again for his bride and whatever takes place at that time. Now, until that time, let's just all pray. Live good, straight Christian lives looking forward for his coming. And if you remember his warning, now remember when Moses warned the children of Israel, when you get into the promised land and you're going to be eating all that food, land flowing with milk and honey, and you're going to get fat and sassy and be laying around, don't you dare forget your God who delivered you from Egypt, who brought you through this wilderness, who was with you with signs and wonders, and he delivered you and he helped you. Don't you forget your God. Why did Moses warn them? Because that's exactly what they did. Think about every time when God sends a prophet and does a warning, they end up doing exactly what they were told not to do. Do you believe that? And the warning, in the when Brother Branham begins to do the questions and answers, remember how he had, not questions, let's see, he did questions and answers on the seals. Remember that? I believe it was in between, and then he preaches the seventh seal. So just keep this in mind. In that little interlude between sixth seal and seventh seal, he warns them, when this seal comes up tonight, don't you make an ism out of it. Because that's exactly what they're going to do. He says, don't you be odd. You be everyday people. Be good Christians. Love the Lord. Don't you do this. And Sister Priscilla and Brother John Cutts, they told me, they said, because they were there for the whole series, and they said the talk, the people were talking all that Sunday, oh, the Lord's coming. Something big's going to happen. It's going to be huge when he gets to that seventh seal. Remember that? Anybody here remember the Cutts is talking about it? And they said it was like anticlimactic. It just was like blah, 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 blah. It was like nothing. Because Brother Branham was saying, what it was is people weren't catching the revelation that he was really getting. Because the biggest revelation I believe Brother Branham got when the seventh seal was opened was that he finally fully knew he was the seventh angel messenger. And it becomes super clear when you watch how he starts doing things afterwards. It's super clear that he was that one and that his ministry was the shout. He got it. That's it. That's what the whole opening of the seals was, is to get a shout to the people. In other words, God commanding voice to command us to attention, really basically to call us up out of dark denominationalism into the resurrection life of Jesus Christ, to be the bride of Jesus Christ, really to answer the call, will you marry this man? Yeah, right. You say, yes, amen, right? You're agreeing to be married to the Lord Jesus Christ instead of to the Pope. You're agreeing to be married to the Lord Jesus Christ instead of to, you know, whoever, Joseph Smith, you know, some other leader of some other founder. You're agreeing to be married to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Brother Branham's a friend of the bridegroom, and he comes and he brings you tokens of the bridegroom, and you take them. When you take those tokens, you're now not married to the friend, you're married to the bridegroom. Unfortunately, people in this message sometimes are still married to the friend. They're still stuck on the bars of the prison house of John the Baptist instead of going with the message that John gave us. Amen. But that's where we're at today. So watch what he says. I want to repeat it again. Now, until the time that the seven thunder voices become revealed to us, he says, let's just all pray, live good, straight Christian lives, looking forward for his coming. Why is that so hard to do? Why do we have such a struggle? Because we're the church. Does that make sense? We are the weaker vessel. That's us. We don't like mysteries. We want to know everything. Right? The female, the woman, wants to know. She doesn't like mysteries. That's just from the time that God made Eve out of Adam's side. That was her weakness. And the devil knew that was her weakness, and he got to her. He didn't bother going to Adam. Adam would have beat him up. Adam would have said, it's written. But Eve, you know, she thought there was something missing, and what was wrong with this? Something's not right. And then, sure enough, the devil kind of pricked her thinking, like, oh, well, you know, God has something that he's keeping from you, and he knows if you eat this, then you're going to know it all. So she wanted to know, because not knowing is scary. Not knowing gives you fear. Just keep that in mind. This has been a pattern throughout history. Why did the Israelites go to Samuel? They had the word of God. They had the law of God. They had Moses' word. They had God in their camp. And yet they said, we want a king. You know, it wasn't really wrong that they said they want a king, because God already said in prophecy, when Abraham blessed Israel and he blessed Judah, he says, out of you will come a king. So everyone already knew a king was coming. But what was wrong with them asking? It was the way they were asking, and it was the timing. They got ahead of God. They got in a hurry. They were afraid. Well, the other nations have kings. We feel a little like little guys. We want to be big like them. How do you think denominations all start? We want to be big like them. I don't know if you guys really understand this or not, but White Horse Rider is simply a serpent-like spirit coming to the woman. That's how Satan starts. He doesn't begin with the man. He begins with the woman. Does that make sense? Because if he can get her, if he can get through the children, through the family, through her, he can get to him. Satan's goal was not to kill Eve, it was to kill Adam. Oh my, I hope you get this. And so, why did the early church start saying we need a leader? You didn't see it, but you go read it in Acts chapter 6. We need a leader. Solve this problem among us. And that's the White Horse Rider starting. And they solved it by going among the people and saying, you need to come up with 7 men. And that solved it. That killed it for a long time. But then another 300 years, and then all of a sudden it switched over. Now you have this big leader in Rome who's leading the whole church. It's Antichrist. It's the devil's program. And you think that's just history, but that's not just history. That's this day. God sent us a prophet, and we, the woman, tried to make him, the prophet, the leader. He's coming back. He's going to resurrect early. He's going to set up a tent. We're all going to go sit in a tent and hear 7 thunders. We don't need that. He himself very clearly wrote at the end of the church's book, I had no intention ever of having a following or of anyone building churches or followings in my name. He could have put in there and calling themselves message believers. But I am a message believer. It doesn't have a little copyright behind it. It's not important to me. I'd rather be the message than be a message believer. The devil believes and trembles. What if I told you the devil was a message believer? You can't say that. Well, the Bible said it. If he doesn't believe it, he has to believe it because he has to know that's what I have to mimic to deceive people. I have to copy the right and be almost right and deceive people. That's his plan, his program. And we're all going to fall for it every time if we don't understand Satan's system, white, red, black, pale. You think, oh, that's history. No, it's not just history. It's every little church. It's every little family. It's your home. That's why I pray for me. I'm praying for you. Look, I struggle with things in my own home. There's things I got to deal with my kids. My kids are now at an age where I can't spank them, put them in timeout. They want to make up their own mind, but I can pray. I can pray, I can pray, I can pray. You can pray. We can pray together. We can believe for one another. And we can see God make changes happen that surprises us. I believe in that. I'm praying for Jonathan. I'm just praying for him. It's like, Lord, he's a man after your own heart. You're going to use him. But you just need to get him on a track. Once he's on track, you can't stop the guy. And Daniel. I call him Daniel because that's his real name, right? Daniel. I just see God's going to just get a hold of him. And man, you're not going to stop him. And amazing things are going to happen. I'm telling you right now, God's going to start pulling people out of the woodwork like you've never seen. And it's going to be based on one thing. They're going to realize it's not about the pastor. It never was about the pastor. It never was about the prophet. It's about the Lord Jesus in my own life. So can we do that? I had to be willing to say, I love the brother. I love this. He's a great leader. A lot of people look to him. But I have to go to God's word and let the Holy Spirit teach me. Because as soon as I say, wow, I love what he preached, I'm going to believe that, then I blocked the Holy Spirit. And that's why it's so hard. That's why I struggle. Sometimes I don't know. Sometimes I feel like I'm going to preach what the prophet of God said, and then I'm going to get kicked out of the church. It could happen, but I'm willing to if I have to drink branch water and eat saltine crackers and preach to 1 post or 2 posts or 4 posts, whatever it is. I don't care. Last quote, so I'll let you go after this one. And that's the reason there was silence in heaven for a space of half hour. And 7 thunders utter their voices. And John was even forbidden to write it, the coming of the Lord. That's one thing he hasn't revealed yet. of how he will come and when he will come. How can you take that and say, yep, that he's talking about 1963? How can you do it? You can't do it. 1960, this is Christ the mystery of God revealed. It's months after the seals were preached. And he keeps this pattern going straight through. Now, for instance, space of half hour. Remember, the Bible says the Lamb opened the seventh seal and there was a space of half hour. I've heard so many things preached on that. You know, 28 days is the number of a woman's cycle. It's like, okay, how does that work? 28 days, 28 minutes, almost. It says almost a half hour. It's like, so, and then, because that person was preaching because it was 28 years after 1963. They were preaching that. Like, is it going to happen now? What's going on? Nothing happened. But what I'm saying is it's trying too hard.
Yes, amen.
It's trying too hard. When I was trained to ride a horse, Western style, and I exchanged art lessons to this woman's son. She was giving me horse riding lessons. She picked that up right away. She says, look, you're trying too hard. It's like, what do you mean? She says, look, there's a way that you can position yourself on the horse and then just go with it. If you just go with it, you're going to be fine. But if you're working, trying to make something happen, it's going to mess up because the horse is rearing. That horse was so sensitive. If you pull on the reins a little here or there, it thinks you want to do something. It doesn't know what you want to do. It's been trained that it doesn't take a whole lot to get it done. And I'm telling you, we ought to be trained by now that all we have to do is just speak a little word and the angels of God go moving and the power of God moves and things happen. Even the bride, just a command of her word and the power of the living God is going to get right behind it. But see, we're just jerking it all over the place. If we could just relax and just let it go. This word we are riding on, this revelation is going into a rapture. You're not going to miss it. Just relax in the ride. Become like Rebecca. Just get in between the two humps, right? It's hump is hump day, Wednesday. Get in the humps there and just sit there and just go. Don't worry about it. You don't have to worry about it. That camel will keep on rolling and rolling and rolling. You don't need to get off and change the saddle. You just keep on going. Go, go, go. We're going to make it. Can you say amen?
Amen.
How many loves the Lord with all your heart? Hallelujah. I believe that there's so many great things. So since we're really out of time, I don't want to spend a lot more time on this, but I want to deal with how that Brother Branham deals with revealing the seven thunders, and he connects them with the rapture. He connects them with rapturing faith. He connects them to the resurrection. So if you can understand what he's doing, he's taking all that whole event and of Revelation 10. And even though there's things happening right then in 1963, he's letting us know it's not all happening now. There's more coming. So if you're part of what's going on now, if you're part of being under the voice of the seventh messenger, you're going to be part of all that this mighty angel is doing. But you can't get out from under that voice and think you're going to be part of it. There's no big eyes and little U's and big eyes. None of that. This is just all Christ, him alone. And we just have to surrender to him. Do you love him with all your heart? Now I want you to bow your heads and then we'll have the musicians come. And tonight I want to just ask you to pray for throughout this rest of this week. Lord, make me humble. Keep me humble. Help me to understand you. Help me to catch the beauty of this revelation that your prophet brought us, that the word gives to us. Help us grow in it. And Lord, we just ask you to take the word, the revelation, that's maybe some things that we just never even understand what the prophet's saying because we believed it a certain way and it's kind of blocking the rest of it. Help us to get the exclamation marks and the periods away from statements and understand that it's a comma and that there's more, there's more, there's more. And we can really grow faster in revelation if we just let go and let God. So I pray that you'll grant that. Lord, also pray that you would heal the sick among us. Lord Jesus, those that are in need, those that are hurting, maybe it could even be emotional, mental, it could be spiritual, it could be physical, whatever it might be. And Lord, I just ask that you would help it not be me speaking right now, but let it be you speaking right now, Lord God. Let it be God, the voice of God, the mouth of God speaking the word of God into the hearts that are filled with the Spirit of God. And let that confirmation come into fruition. Lord, if there's anything that's just hurting, somebody's really hurting emotionally, whatever it might be, I just ask right now that absolute divine healing will flow into their life right now in the name of Jesus Christ. We send the word. Let the glory of the Lord fill each house in Jesus' name. We pray. Amen. You love him with all your heart. My, what a mighty God we serve. Is that right? There's none like him. There's none like him. Who's like our God? It's a question. Who is like our God? It's a question that you can't answer because, I mean, you can answer it because there's none. But it's not like you're going to come up with a name. Who is like our God? Amen. Number 109, if it's the same one. When I look out across the land and see God's mighty hand. How many believes the mighty God is being unveiled in our day, in us, within us? The bride of Christ adorned in her wedding gown. Don't you feel good? I'm all dressed. You get dressed, you feel good, right? Praise the Lord. As I look out across the land and see God's mighty hand, the bride of Christ adorned in her wedding gown, like in the days of old, they stood in courage bold. They whole world upside down. Rising up. Oh, there's a New Testament church. Come on, bride, rise up. Amen. We're rising up. Oh, we're rising up. We're a New Testament church rising up. Now the Bible plainly tells how the Holy Ghost fell. Signs and wonders were done by apostles' hands. Evil spirits were all cast out. The jail men sing and shout while surrounded by God's holy angel band. Hallelujah! Sing it! Rising up. We're rising up. Oh, there's a new Testament church rising up. Come on, rise up. Rising up. We're rising up. There's a New Testament church rising up. If you think it's all gone and the miracles are done, I have some good news to bring to you. Are you ready for it? In the last days he'll pour out his spirit more and more. Like a mighty eagle, his strength will renew. Yes, he's rising up. We're rising up. Oh, we're a New Testament church and we're rising up. Hallelujah, rising up. We're rising up. Yes, we're a New Testament church rising up. We're rising up. Oh, we're rising up. We're a New Testament church rising up. We're rising up. We're rising up. We are a New Testament church rising up. Don't you feel yourself rising a little higher, a little higher, a little higher? Amen? Something pulling, drawing on you, bringing you up closer to him all the time. Today I was studying the names of Jehovah, Yahweh, in the Old Testament. 7,500 times his name is mentioned. I was just fascinated by that. And I was looking at all the times that people named their kids taking God's name and Yahweh and adding it to the name. Like Joshua or Yehoshua, right? Just coupling it together. Really amazing stuff. So anyway, while I'm studying that, in comes these two kids. You've met Stone. He's been here before. Lately he's reading his Bible. He's really digging into the Word of God. He wants to be a Christian full-fledged. So it's amazing stuff. And then Sophie too. She was there. They both walk in. Sophie says, "What are you studying?" I says, "Oh, I just like to study." She goes, "Well, what is it about?" So I just told her. I told her what I just shared with you. She goes, and I said, "You know, isn't it amazing that God gives his name 7,500 times and yet nobody knows what his name is?" She goes, "Wait, how's that possible? They don't know how to pronounce it. They don't know how to say it. They don't even know how it's supposed to be spelled." She goes, "I don't understand it. How's that possible?" They got very interested. So I just started sharing with them. I said, "It's because God gave 10 commandments, and one of the commandments was, don't take my name in vain. And they took it so seriously, they made it more religious than what God intended. And they ended up doing away with how to actually say it. They stopped saying it altogether, and then they lost it." He goes, "That's really weird." I said, "Yeah, but that's what religions do. Religions come, and they take something that's so simple that God gives us, and they make it something super hard to do, and then it becomes impossible, and that's what religions do." She goes, "That makes so much sense," because she's Catholic background. But they were like, "That's so amazing." I said, "Yeah, well, how would it be if you say to me you have a best friend and then you can't tell me what their name is because you don't know it?" I said, "How can you be a friend with someone?" But he says, I said, that's God's, if God puts his name 7,500 times down, he really wants us to know him. He wants a relationship, not religion. She goes, "Wow, that's so sad that we miss all that." I said, "Yeah." But she says, "Isn't that what Jesus came to do? To really tell us who..." I said, "You nailed it." So we just got into it. Like, it was a really revived thing. But, you know, the devil came back later and tried to blow everything up pieces. But I say, hey, you know, the devil can do whatever he wants to do, but we're going to get this done. So let's just keep rising up. We're rising up. We are a New Testament church rising up. We're rising up. We're rising up. We're a New Testament church rising up. Shake somebody's hand. God bless you. Look forward to seeing you by Sunday, the Lord willing.